Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Me, 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 me.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, warming correspondences, up, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
For next
special
week.
Special message for all the kids watching at home.
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh! My timing and my tone were off. That ain't nothing new. This is Wretched Radio warming up for next week. Why? We are going to dedicate an entire week of mailbag questions. So get them in! That was a little violent sounding. Well, you know, but don't blame me. I think if you thought that was wrong, blame the Republicans. Or blame guns or something like that. And in the meantime, send stuff too. Did you see the responses to a tragedy in Minneapolis? And the politicians, the liberal democratic politicians of Minnesota and California, because they are in a competition. California and Minnesota shouldn't be friends at this point because they are neck and neck for who's going to be communist first. I'm telling you, they are in a horse race and Secretariat ain't breaking out of the pack blaming, I think they blame Donald Trump, blame guns, blame the Republicans. They blamed everybody but the dude who did it. When I say dude, I mean dude, because it was a dude, even though he identified as a dudette. That wasn't mentioned. Anti-Catholic sentiment. How's about Christophobia? Huh? Christophobia. That's everybody else. We've got phobias all over them. They've got Christophobia. This guy was very aggressive against Jesus Christ. Shh. Blame guns. Please send your thoughts, questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to idea@wretched.org. Send lots of stuff, would you? Because otherwise, Jimmy, he's going to have to make stuff up, and we don't want him making up stuff all next week. Or text away at 877-282-2337.
So this is my favorite way to start mailbag.
With a critique.
With the correction.
Okay. Same thing.
Yeah, this is from Dan. Todd, in your report about who you saw at the MacArthur Memorial, you said that Pastor Tom Pennington was at Crossroads Bible Church.
Oops.
He pastors our church, Countryside Bible Church.
Yeah, all righty. See? But here's what people, you know, to accuse me of being wrong.
I know.
People just don't do their research. If they look back in the archives at a very early formation meeting, they actually talked about it being Crossway Church. So I am really more accurate here. 877. Is that it for the week?
That's it. Yeah.
Yes. Well, not everybody's been exactly thrilled with me this week, which is fine. We can certainly disagree on stuff, and then you can send your critique to 877-282-2337.
So this is a question from Derek. He texted in, Todd, did your opinion of bagpipes change after MacArthur's memorial service?
No, my attitude about John MacArthur changed. Mm. I'm not sure that I love the man anymore.
I actually thought about you as I was watching it.
I'm not the only one who has a wee bit of a disdain for the bagpipes. I was watching faces when the guy started marching in. I was watching, and not everybody is like, let me get that CD. I just want all bagpipes. There are no bagpipe CDs. I suspect there probably are, but I bet they're not on Amazon. It's got to be pretty niche. I don't know if you realize this. This is, again, once again, my critique is correct. Not only because I'm a talk show host, but because I do the research, the hard work to study these issues historically. This is the background to bagpipes. It was the Irish who gave a bagpipe to the Scottish people as a joke, and the Scottish people never got it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I am attending a Catholic funeral for my wife's uncle. Obviously, we won't be taking communion as they do, but I don't want to participate in any of it. I was thinking we could just stay seated during all the standing and kneeling. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I'd have to do that too, because the issue is participation and affirmation. Let's start with what I think is correct, and please, you can correct me if you dare, because I'm a talk show host, that the distinction needs to be made, I think, between a marriage and a funeral. I just think that there's a difference. A marriage, your presence is affirming what is happening. I personally don't think that attending a funeral is unnecessarily, it could if you participate in the service, but I don't think it's necessarily affirming. It is simply there out of respect to the person who has died. Now, the reason that I would say the standing and the sitting and all of that, I just couldn't participate in, I would encourage somebody to not do that, is because I think that is the line. Then it looks like you are participating and affirming what is being done up on the altar, and you just don't want to be doing that. So in my opinion, I say go to the funeral and don't participate. And by the way, there might be other things. They might do communion. Don't. It is a blasphemous affair in the Roman Catholic system. The calling down, the summoning of Jesus from heaven to die again and shed his blood again to be transubstantiated, where these elements, which are clearly still bread and wine, because they probably still use wine in the Roman Catholic Church, are not the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, the act of remembrance does not forgive your sins. The one the elements represent forgives your sins. So don't participate in that. Or if there's anything else that happens and you feel like, hey, I'm participating in this, then just avoid that. Now, here's one for you. All right, here's one. Let's just say that the casket comes in from the back of the church and everybody stands up. Do you stand up for that? Now, I think different Christians are going to probably have different answers to that question. But the issue is, does it appear that I am participating? Because it is, if it is, then I think you're in violation of 2 John 9 through 11. And you don't want to be in violation of any Bible verse. Jimmy, you okay with the distinction between marriage and burial?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, I mean, you're honoring the person that passed away and what they meant to your life. I don't think that affirms the Catholic faith.
Yeah, and I get it if somebody would disagree with that, because let's just, clearly they must have been Roman Catholic, and so they would affirm that service. Well, you're not there to affirm their faith. You're there to affirm your relationship with them and their life and their passing. Yeah, but might I suggest, if you disagree on this, okay, I understand that you wouldn't be able to go. I would, and I would encourage you to be persuaded in your own mind, and then we can get back to fellowshipping together after you send your thoughts to 877-282-2337.
This is from Dawson. He texted in, Todd, what is the biblical position on Christian and alcohol? Do you believe in complete abstinence or drinking but not getting drunk?
Can I add a prepositional phrase? Do I believe in complete abstinence for me? Yes, I believe in that. Now, do I think that I would be sinning if I took a drink? Take a drink? Is that what? Drink a drink? Whatever you do to alcohol. If I slammed one back.
There you go.
Actually, I would be sinning, not because I'm consuming alcohol, but because my conscience would say, duh. And you never want to override your conscience. I made that decision years ago for me, simply because I can have a propensity toward diving into something and staying there. Furthermore, when you had a first-class alcoholic father, you got to be careful that you don't follow in his footsteps. So I made that decision for me. Furthermore, productivity, expense, the calories, all of it. I'm just going to just cut that out. Then it's never a debate. It's never a concern. It's never a how much is too much. And furthermore, testimony. I think let's make sure that we understand that those in ministry aren't superior Christians. But I think if you're in ministry, you do have greater considerations. What is the testimony? When you're coming and going from a liquor store or you're ordering out at a restaurant, you simply have to ask that. So my answer for me was no. Do I believe that you're sinning if you consume alcohol? Well, if your conscience is clear and you're not getting drunk, then I say it can be a blessing from God. It can be something that enhances food. Here's something that might help you to know if you've had too much. Because if you believe that alcohol is not sinful, therefore it could be classified as a good gift for your enjoyment, can you thank God for that next 12-ouncer? Can you thank God for that next beverage when you're done consuming it? Might be a helpful test. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's something you don't hear every day. Hey, we're closing our store to serve you better. That sounds a little backwards, right? Well, it actually makes perfect sense in our world. We're permanently shutting down and closing the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. But before you panic, here is why. Our gospel partners have made it possible for us to offer all of our resources digitally for free on Fortis Plus. We're basically going to become the Netflix of biblical resources, except without the subscription forever. It's free. But here's the thing. We've got all this physical inventory just sitting around and we want to put it in your hands. And so if you want an opportunity to grab books and DVDs and CDs and booklets, you've got this month to do it. Up to 75% off. Think of it like this. This is our going out of business because we're getting into a better and bigger business sale. Head to FortisInstitute.org because, you know, sometimes closing a door means opening a much, much bigger one. FortisInstitute.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's frustrating? Reading about the Holy Spirit and still not really understanding how He works in your life. I mean, you want to understand, right? But it just feels so unclear. Well, here's something that's going to help. Fortis Institute fellow Dr. John Krotz is going to be coming to the Wretched Studios on Saturday, August 30th. He's going to be doing 6 sessions on the Holy Spirit. Like, how do you know when the Spirit is leading you? Or how does the Spirit help you deal with sin? What does it mean to be adopted by God? Look, if you've ever wondered about this stuff, this is your chance to finally get clear answers from someone who really knows the Bible. Coming up Saturday, August 30th, 8:30 in the morning is what time it's going to get underway and start. You can be here. You can be a part of it. Absolutely free, but space is limited. So go to fortisinstitute.org/Holy Spirit right now as quick as possible and get signed up because the limited spaces will fill up fast. fortisinstitute.org/Holy Spirit. Trust me. You'll be glad that you went.
Know your church fathers. Origen of Alexandria was a 2nd century theologian who wrote one of the first systematic theology books. Origen observed that heretics twisted and misused scripture by taking verses out of context. However, he refuted them by reading the verses in context and interpreting them in the light of the rest of scripture.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ruh-roh, you've almost missed the sale. This is Wretched Radio. You want a good deal? Visit FortisInstitute.org. The store is closing in a matter of minutes. So if you want the end of a very good deal of wretched stuff, visit FortisInstitute.org. And Jimmy, you're supposed to interrupt me here at some point.
I'm supposed to interrupt you.
Yeah. We rehearsed this.
Did we?
What instructions did I give you right before the microphone went on?
Well, I was waiting for you to do it.
I'm blathering away in here. So make sure that you visit the Wretched Store.
Jimmy. Yeah, you probably shouldn't be drinking that Fresca.
Who do you think you are?
What?
I have liberty to drink this Fresca. And just because you've got issues with it, Pally, I'm going to keep drinking it. Now, you can think it's a sin if you want to, but here I go. Ah, that's good Fresca, Pally.
Are you okay?
I'm exercising my liberty.
Okay.
Very, very poorly. And perhaps revealing something that might be a heart check for you. I've seen this before, so this is experiential. This is subjective. But nevertheless, I've seen this before. Regarding the conversation about alcohol consumption, this is not true for everybody who consumes alcohol as a Christian. You have the liberty to do that, with all the nota benes attached to that. It has been my experience that when somebody responds really strongly to fight for their liberty, that has been a sign that they are probably more attached to their liberty than they should be. Because we should be able to give up our Fresca. We should be able to give up beer or wine or whatever you consume. We should be able to give that up. If somebody says, I don't think you should be doing that. Okay, you don't think that? Then I'm pouring it down the drain because, bro, I don't want you to stumble. I don't want you to have your conscience compromised because I care about you. And that is the attitude that we should possess when it comes to liberty. If you want to go to the mattresses over your liberty, I'm just saying it could be a sign you're perhaps more in love with the consumption of alcohol than you should be. You sort that for you. I sort that for me. 877-282-2337. By the way, Jimmy.
Yes.
Let me know when the phone call comes in for the radio broadcast acting dramatic recreation awards are announced.
Okay, yeah.
I thought I nailed it.
I thought you did too.
Yeah, I thought I was spot on with that. I don't want to toot my own horn. But in Scotland, do they say, I don't want to screech my own bagpipe?
Screech. Yeah. Hey, about the Christian liberty. If only there was a free resource available at Fortis Plus.
You are so on that. So why are you fixated on that particular resource? We talked about that this morning.
Well, that was an example, but
it's a little obscure. We recorded that like 10 years ago.
It's good. Yeah, it is so good.
I like to think it is. Yeah, I think so too. The subject of Christian liberty is really, it's more complex than you think it is. And it's much more difficult to utilize than I think we perceive it is. I think sometimes we can use Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 to get away with a lot of stuff. And we got to be careful with both parties are right, because actually one of the parties can be wrong. But the wrong of the one party isn't that they are utilizing their liberty wrongly. It's that they're feeling that they don't have liberty when they do. So this, because if we were able to say, well, Christian liberty, we're both right on this. Whoa. What if somebody is sinning? So we need to apply Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 8 through 10 very carefully. And might I suggest it actually, on the one hand, as I've observed it, it tends to be either a very neglected doctrine or a very abused doctrine. It's brilliant. It's so brilliant. And it's another reason why Christianity is the joyful religion. Have you seen the Islamic hymnal lately? You're not going to find one because they don't sing. They got no joy, 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 joy down in their hearts. We do. And Christianity affords us the ability to enjoy every good and perfect gift that comes from the Father of Lights, that we love him for this stuff. And then he gives us liberty and he allows us to be different. Christianity is not monolithic. You are uniquely knit together in a unique position, born at a unique time with unique giftings to do unique work for the kingdom. And we should rejoice in that. And the Christian liberty is another reason we should be a happy people. God lets us disagree. And God informs us, I want your conscience to be clear. But if it isn't a sin, then enjoy and let each man be persuaded in his own mind. Now, I see that sometimes get abused. I see it get neglected as if it doesn't exist. We got to sort that. And I think that resource will help you. And you say, resource, how much you talking about? Don't know if you've heard the news blast, but it's going to cost you nothing, I'm afraid. Just absolutely. Now, I know you'd like to spend money with us, but I'm sorry. Conscience will simply not allow it. It's free at fortisplus.org. Christian Liberty. Look for it somewhere. It's probably under what we call, we maybe call resources, I think is the line or the tab or whatever it is. It's a red cover, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, it's a red cover with a brain on it, isn't it? What, isn't that what the product looks like?
It's a red cover.
With a white brain drawn.
Oh, it is. It
two
is.
Two sides of the brain. See what we did there. FortisPlus.org. And when you're done downloading that or whatever, you don't download it. You just watch it.
You just watch it. You just stream it.
Because if you had to download it, your computer would be done. Yes. The file is massive. I think it's about, is it like a dozen or 15 lectures?
It is, yes. 22.
All righty then. Still free. FortisPlus.org.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, what are your thoughts on an invitation or altar call at the end of a sermon?
Yeah. NAF. You forgot how hip I am, didn't you? NAF. I'm not a fan. Why? Because I just don't think it's needed. And it's been abused so much. Do I think a pastor is sinning if he does that? Well, of course, it's between him and the Lord and his heart if he's sinning, if he's doing it for just to show off, if he's doing it because that's what's needed. Otherwise, the deacons get mad at him or people stop supporting. Just, in other words, wrong motives. Or got a lot of them this week. Well, then the act of the individual is a sin. Is doing an altar call in and of itself a sin? No, you can't say that it is, but it isn't necessary. And I think that a lot of people have been saved, nevertheless, at altar calls. But I think we've created far more false converts, far more of people who, you know, they get, it's these, I just saw there was like a big 45,000 person rally of some sort. And they claim, you know, 1,000 people came running toward the altar to get saved. Well, that's after like 90 minutes of music and dim lighting and really emotional sort of speaking here and there. And a lot of those people, they kind of get whipped up into the moment and they go running down and then they run up. They don't run to the Lord. They are having an emotive response, but not a regeneration response. So am I a proponent of them? I'm not. Do I discourage them? I do. If, pastor, you want to be evangelistic in the service, I would ask you to consider two things. Number one, be mindful that church is for believers. To do these prolonged altar calls, 5-7 minutes long, it's I think, to undermine for whom church is. The assumption should be that it's like most people there, we don't want to be naive, so we can't say everybody, that most people there are actually saved. They're professing, they're coming to church. These are people who are saved. We recognize there are people who aren't, and so we want to give them the opportunity. In other words, we want to apply the gospel. So I think if you're a pastor who's inclined to do altar calls, I would simply ask you to start with, for whom is church and what message does this altar call send? And then second challenge for you is, do an altar call without them standing up, bowing their heads, closing their eyes. Call, apply the gospel that hopefully has been preached throughout the sermon by pressing them. That's okay to do as long as you're not violating that first consideration, that your assumption isn't most people here aren't saved, so we're doing this or we're doing this service predominantly for them. You're not. You're doing it for the people who are believers. And you could call them to salvation right where they are, with their eyes open, with their heads unbowed, not raising a hand, not walking an altar. Those things are not prescribed or described in the Bible. People are called to salvation. Peter preached, they got saved, they got baptized, they were added to the church. So my challenge to the altar call pastor is, check your heart, check your ecclesiology, and then consider how you are applying the gospel by calling people to salvation. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. You know what blows my mind? For a decade, nearly a decade, Chinese coders have had access to the Department of Defense's cloud systems. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth just killed this Obama-Biden digital escorts program that literally gave nationals from our biggest adversary access to our military's sensitive information. Microsoft was paying these Chinese coders, supposedly under American supervision, to work on DoD systems. And the reaction of Hegseth? If you're thinking America first and common sense, this doesn't pass either of those tests. Meanwhile, in Arkansas, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders is showing what actual workplace reform looks like. Not the woke version, but the real version. She's rolling out an infant at work policy, letting parents bring their babies 4 weeks to 6 months old into state offices. But the kicker here, she's also ending remote work for state employees and extending office hours, saying that state employees serve our citizens best when they collaborate in person. The Treasury Secretary just dropped a bombshell. Trump's tariffs could bring in well over $500 billion annually, maybe even approaching a trillion. The Congressional Budget Office now says this could reduce deficits by $4 trillion over 10 years. Remember just a few months ago when economists says tariffs would destroy the economy? They're awfully quiet now that customs duty collections jumped from $7 billion last July to nearly $21 billion this July. Well, here's a story that should terrify every parent. A 16-year-old boy took his own life after months of conversations with ChatGPT about suicide. When the young man uploaded a photo of noose marks on his neck, asking if anyone would notice, ChatGPT told him how to hide them better. When he said he wanted someone to notice he was struggling, the AI responded, "You're not invisible to me. I saw it. I see you." And when the young man showed ChatGPT a noose in his closet asking, "Is this good?" the AI replied, "Yeah, that's not bad at all." His parents are now suing OpenAI, and they absolutely should, because this wasn't a glitch. It was, as the lawsuit states, the predictable result of deliberate design choices to foster psychological dependency. The Trump administration just put 40 states on notice. Remove gender ideology from your federally funded education programs within 60 days or lose millions. New York stands to lose over 6 million, and Pennsylvania, 4.6 million. What are they teaching? That gender identity may be man, woman, or something that doesn't fit labels at all. The acting assistant secretary, Andrew Gradison, didn't mince words, saying federal funds will not be used to poison the minds of the next generation. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1807. The British Parliament votes to abolish the slave trade. Its decision is owing in large part to the tireless efforts of the Christian politician, William Wilberforce. Wilberforce's example spurred on abolitionist efforts in America for the next 55 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We give and we give and we do and we do. You sound exhausted. This is Wretched Radio. You're bummed because everything at Fortis Plus is free and you just really wanted to spend some money, but now you feel like you can't and you are frustrated. Well, we're here to relieve that frustration because it is my pleasure, having done some research, and reading the piece of paper that somebody put on my desk. Greg Gifford's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, 50% off at Barnes & Noble. Ah. What's up with Barnes & Noble? You know what? I have a confession to make. I'm shocked Barnes & Noble is still open.
Really?
I know people go in there. I see them go in, but I don't see them come out with much. They grab a cup of coffee at the mock Starbucks, and then they sit there in the comfy chairs reading the books. I'm not sure how many people are actually buying. Nevertheless, Barnes & Noble has Lies My Therapist Told Me at 50% off. If you have not availed yourself of that book, you will benefit from it, and you'll be able to spend that money you've been itching to spend. Would you please send stuff to idea@wretched.org? If it's a wretched article, story, it doesn't have to be a national sort of affair. It just needs to be, you know, wretched. Send it to idea@wretched.org.
And if you really want to spend money,
you're not gonna give out your home address.
No, I'm just thinking about selling some 8x10s.
8x10s.
Yeah, will you put them on the 40 store?
8x10. What are you talking about?
8x10 photos of myself.
Oh, but are they autographed?
That's extra.
Okay. All right. I am not at liberty to disclose about whom I'm going to speak, but I know an individual who is an author and a really big selling author. And apparently for autograph book, when it's a really big book and it's a really big deal, I didn't know this because, you know, we're just not in that league, that they send to the author just the page, like a blank page. And then they can sign just a piece of paper as opposed to the entire book. Because, you know, you got to ship it and then ship it back. And you got the books and the weight and the hand.
They just bind the page in?
And then they bind the page in.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
And I can't remember the number that this author had. But it was, I kid you not. No, I do remember the number. 5,000 wow. Signatures. Oh, man. That's a big selling book. Lies My Therapist Told Me. I'm sorry, it's not autographed by Greg, but it's a good deal at Barnes & Noble, 50% off.
All right, this is from Chris. Todd, I know two young Amish men who are considering leaving the Amish community. They asked me for some advice, and I'm not so sure that I should influence them one way or the other. I share the gospel with both. They seem very receptive. Their community frowns upon them spending too much time in the Bible, but they're hungry for more. So how should I proceed?
I think there are two paths you can consider. First is letting the Holy Spirit do the persuading. I would fear, and I think that fear is expressed in that email, that you want to be careful that you don't tell somebody what to do, because I think we all know that in the Amish community, if you're no longer Amish, you are cut off from everything, work, family, the land. You are just separated. And that's a really big decision. And for you to be pushing them to escape that environment, because look, they can stay there and still be a Christian. They can, if they would make that decision because they want to stay with their family or there are other dynamics at play, they can still be a Christian there. It's going to be a little harder, but it certainly can be done. So I'm not sure that, I think your instincts are right, that you don't want to be telling them what to do. Leave it to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit convict them. Let the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say it, lead them. So that the decision is theirs, because if they make that decision because you kind of pushed or pressured and it's going to be hard, they're not going to be thrilled with you. Furthermore, it's such a massive life shift that I think you need to be really careful about how much influencing you do. But you don't have to worry. The Holy Spirit is a better influencer. Second path you might want to take, find a former Amish ministry. There's plenty of them out there, and there's plenty of individuals who used to be Amish, and they go Googling on the internet machine and find these places and ask them, what was the best way? What resources could you provide? If these guys decided to do this, could you find that information and say to them, hey guys, I hope this doesn't contradict path number one. Hey guys, decision is yours. Either way, Do it between you and the Lord. You're not sinning. Should you choose to leave, here's some folks who are willing to help you. And then you can just be a good servant to them in providing resources of those who have gone before them. Jimmy, you got anything else?
That's just a tough community.
It's a tough community, but also, like, I know that you can't just say the Amish are this, because the Amish, you talk about fractured. Well, they beat us like nobody's business, and we're pretty fractured at the moment. It's every not principality, every my is stuck. A precinct, something like that. There's so much land, and there's an individual who gets elected to be the pastor, and that individual writes the rules for, well, we're just going to use the word precinct until Jimmy finds it here. You got it?
No. I think they call the pastor the bishop, though.
Okay, so the bishop. See if you can find out what they call the little square territory that they get. Because if you go to Amish land, you go to Apple Creek, Ohio, which is really lovely. And there's a really good church there, by the way. It's not like, oh, that's all the Amish people. No, in their little, we'll call them quadrants or precincts, that's one group and then another group and another group led by another bishop with another set of rules, another group with another bishop with another set of the rules. It's not homogenous. It's very varied. And there are some of those precincts that are sound. They actually know the gospel. Yeah, I think that they don't understand Christian liberty, which you can still get at FortisPlus.org for free. They don't understand that you don't have to reject looking like the current culture, unless, of course, it's sinful, that you can enjoy advancements, that you can enjoy technology if used rightly. So they're confused about Christian liberty. Okay, are they square on the five solas? Do they understand justification by faith alone? Is there nothing wonky, meaning heretical, in their statement of faith? Well, then they're just confused about Christian liberty. But they're believers, and I think that there are some Amish believers. I think there's some Mennonite believers. But there are some that are indeed underneath a work righteous system. But it's not all of them. Jimmy, you find what the thing is called?
The most common term they say is called the settlement.
The settlement? Uh-huh. That's not the word I was remembering. I think the internet is wrong. So we'll just live with precinct. 877-282-2337.
This is from Kenya. And Todd, I'm a 13-year-old Christian boy, been saved for a few years, but I was wondering where I can share the gospel more. What would you suggest? I don't know when it's appropriate to share the gospel because kids my age are very awkward about this.
Did he say he's from Kenya or his name is?
His name is Kenyan.
Kenyan.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, it's actually the reason I asked is, well, first of all, I don't want to offend by misusing his name. Second of all, it does matter where you live. That's why I always encourage reconnaissance before going out to evangelize. Check out the territory. What's the vibe? What's the mojo of people in that particular zip code? Because you don't want to offend. You want this, here you go. This is finally Romans 9. You become all things to all people. You don't change the message. You don't compromise the message. You contextualize yourself so that you don't become the stumbling block. So always do reconnaissance. And so to this young man, I would say, well, you're going to have to do the sleuthing work on this. I want you to think it through. All right, you've asked me, I'm going to give you some ideas, but I want you to see if they make sense and see what other opportunities you might see. All right, classmates, don't use it's awkward as your excuse. You understand the gospel. They can too. Just be cool about it. We realize the gospel is more important than the Whataburger that's opening up down the street. But make your conversation about spiritual things a Whataburger conversation so that it doesn't feel like you're trying to proselytize them. Are you? Yes. Should it feel like it? No. You could always hand out stuff at school. Yep, you're going to be labeled and identified as that kid but you could hand out gospel literature. It's not illegal to do that. You need to do it. I think it's wise to be on the sidewalks. Don't impede progress into the building. Don't disrupt the classroom. But you could pass it out. You could give it to them in the hallway. Create something that you think would work for that particular group of people. Identify what they're about, what message might resonate, print it up, design it, and then give it to them. You could always go to public places. You could go to parks and hand out things, or just sit down and ask people, hey, could I talk to you for a moment about the afterlife? You'll be shocked at how many people say, sure, and they might be stunned at what comes out of your young mouth. All that to say, way to go, dude, and I mean it. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Kreitz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at fortisplus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us, to glorify him, and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are here to serve. This is Wretched Radio. You've still got the itch to spend some money on Christian stuff. Well, you can't do it with us. No siree, Bob. Everything is free at fortisplus.org. But we did further research, and it looks like if you really need to spend some money, you could visit WJLU.org.
That's it. There you go.
I learned eventually, WJLU.org, and join us in Daytona Beach, Florida, September 5th and 6th for the Cornerstone Conference with a bevy of people that you know. That's right, a bevy of people that you know. Ken Ham, H.B. Charles, Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Stephen Nichols. I'm excited to meet Stephen Nichols from Ligonier because for no reason other than it just never worked out, I've never really had any sort of relationship with Ligonier. So it'll be nice to be able to spend some time with Stephen and you at the Cornerstone Conference, WJLU.org, where you can spend some money. You're welcome. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337.
This is from Kenny. Todd, I was listening to the segment earlier this week on Celine Dion and started thinking about idols, the idols I have in my life. I'm currently 20 years old and very into fitness and training at the gym, but I get really discouraged when I fall off my strict schedule. Does that make it an idol? Even though it's healthy for me to go, should I cut it out? Or should I take a break to refocus my effort on building the temple over the flesh?
There is one and only one individual who can render the verdict to determine, is it an idol or is it simply enjoying a good and perfect gift? Working out is a gift. Exercise, playing game, those are gifts. We take them, we enjoy them, unless they cross the line into idolatry. Here are a couple of words that might help you. Do you want to go to the gym or do you need to go to the gym? If you need to go to the, like, I need to go. Now, I get it. You feel out of sorts when you don't work out or you don't exercise. But that, you know, you feel a little logy. But what I'm talking about is our heart's desire. No, I just got to be there because if I fall off, then my bicep might lose an eighth of an inch. Okay. Then you're probably heading into idolatry territory because it has become a need. So ask yourself the question, do I want to go to the gym and stay fit because I do want to take care of my temple? Or is it something that you've got to do or you die? That is why I'd also focus on another word. You said when you don't go, you're discouraged. Unpack that word. Check out its synonyms. Maybe there are other words that would better describe what's going on in your heart. You're discouraged. Now, again, is that a feeling like, I missed a day working out. I missed my day walking. Like you missed your day gardening or you missed your day knitting. It's like, okay, I'm bummed out about that. Well, that's different than being discouraged because discouraged, if I'm just going to take it at face value, means you're unhappy about the consequences of not being able to do something to make your temple look spectacular. Which I think is another angle for you to consider. Why do you want to work out? If you want to work out to be in shape, cool. If you want to work out so you can just fill out a suit, I get that. Because like if I scrawny as I am, how scrawny are you?
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm like Gumby without the rubber part is what I'm trying to say. I am scrawny. And so just go to the gym just so that I don't have to wear like a boy's suit, like a 34 suit. I go to the gym and take care of it. But that's different than being a preener and a poser so that everybody can see you and look at you and stare at you and perhaps idolize you. There could also be a component of pride involved. There could be an element of fear of man. It could be desiring the praises of people. So you gotta search your heart and only you can render that verdict. Can you get help? Can you have people ask you, hey, earlier, did we do that this week that we talked about heart questions? Yeah, use those questions. Yeah, it was the Celine Dion thing. Yeah. Use those questions. And by the way, I got a Celine Dion email sent to me. Todd, it said something like, I'm not going to do it justice because it was, the guy needed to repent. I'm just telling you, he should just repent. He said, even though Celine Dion can no longer sing, her music will go on and on. And then he said, I'll show myself to the door. So at least he was self-aware. 877-282-23. By the way, I think I've shared this before. If you're a young man and a young woman, because I have been told by Mrs. Friel, this goes on inside of the women's locker room, the staring at yourself in the mirror, we can see you. Okay, we can see you. I see these guys. They're usually younger and usually a little bit on the scrawny side with the, you know, they got mirrors in the gym walls. So you, I guess, check out your form. Some people just use it to check out themselves. And they're doing the Schwarzenegger poses, you know, with the showing the bicep with the leg and on your, and it's like, hello, I know you think that you're the only person on the entire planet, but there are people who can, just because your mind is not aware of anything else or anybody else doesn't mean we can't see you. So if you're young, stop the preening, stop the posing, stop the looking at yourself in the mirror, because my experience is, as a rule, you still have some opportunity for growth. Let's just put it that way. 877-282-2337.
This is from Summer. Todd, my husband has recently become a full-time pastor. We left a church that we loved dearly, where he served as the associate pastor. I was an integral part of the praise team and have been asked to return to sing in their special Christmas music. Is this a good idea? We don't want our new church to feel as though we're unwilling to let go of our old congregation, but I also selfishly would love to sing with my old praise team again.
Yeah, I get that. You know, you're not the called individual, but you do have, I don't want to say that you have a biblically ordained position, but everybody knows that you're the pastor's wife. Now, I say that not to put an extra burden on you, but I'm going to, because we all need to consider what am I speaking to my body? I'm talking about my church body. What am I communicating to them? Now, let's just say you're not the pastor's wife. You're not the pastor. You're not an elder. You're not a deacon, but you're a member of a local church. When you don't show up on Sunday, we all know it. And everybody tries to give the benefit of the doubt. They must be traveling. They must be doing something. But if it were discovered, you know what? Hey, on this Sunday, I just decided to go to another church. Oh, that communicated something, didn't it? It communicated that this body of which you are a part isn't preeminent. And so whatever the scenario, the dynamic is, we all need to consider what our presence is communicating. So let's just say that you've got a situation where the other church has invited you. And it, look, if it's not at the same time as your church service, go do it. I mean, make sure that, you know, that whole selfish part is gone, but go ahead and do it. But if it's at the same time, you do need to ask and answer the question, what will I be communicating to my body? And it doesn't matter if you're the pastor's wife or not. And just based on doing that from afar, I do think that you would be communicating the very thing that you're concerned about saying by being absent on Christmas Eve. Somebody might argue, well, that is not a mandated service. I agree with you. We don't have to go to church on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Very few do both these days. You don't have to, but you're still communicating something. And if I could, for all of us, we need to remember that. When you're thinking about not going to church just because it's raining, you're tired that day, let me put this in a positive way. I think we've just heard the negative way enough. How's about this for a positive way? You encourage us. When we worship together, it's not a singles event. This is a corporate affair. How do we speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? How do we do that? Well, we do these things together. We worship together. And while I don't want to be fully distracted, I do want to look around and go, okay, yeah, I know how tired that guy, he actually had a second shift. That dude is dog tired, and look at him showing up to worship Jesus. You've spoken to me. I've watched you worship. I watch you sing. I see your head bowed, and it feeds your brothers and sisters. So on those days when you're feeling like, it's not a big deal, I don't want to go, I don't need to go. Oh, well, in an effort to be positive, please go. Please go. Please come and encourage us. You might say, but I don't have a ministry. I don't do anything important. I'm telling you, your presence is important because your presence speaks. So on Sunday morning, as tired as you are, speak a good word and go to church. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.